Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We are now in Parashat Emor. Also, another interesting parasha and a lot to talk about. But one of the interesting things is already on the first pasuk, it's puzzling us. Why? Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, and God tells Moses, Emor el Kohanim, tell the Kohanim bnei Aaron, v'amarta, and tell them. לנפש לא יתאמה בעמם. One minute. ויאמר השם אל משה, אמור אל הכהנים בני אהרון, ואמרת עליהם, you already said, tell them. Why and tell them again? What is אמור ואמרת? You can say the פסוק, ויאמר השם אל משה, אמור אל הכהנים בני אהרון, לנפש לא יתאמה בעמם. Tell the כהנים, the sons of Aaron, they should keep pure and not touch any dead in order to be impure. Why you have to say, ויאמר השם אל משה, and God tells Moses, tell the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron, and tell them. What is and tell them? You already said it. A lot of explanations.
Double kim, double ten, yes. Besser.
And by the way, it's not far from the truth. The idea here is, let's think who we talk about here. We talk here about the children of the Kohanim. Because it's written, el Kohanim bnei Aaron. And he approaches to them, by the way, in a very interesting way. He's not saying Bnei Aaron HaKohanim, that the sons of Aaron HaKohen. This says the Kohanim, sons of Aaron. In other words, the honor of being a Kohen is to the children and not to the father. Because Aaron is Aaron. They are called Kohanim. A Kohanim, Bnei Aaron. Of course, Aaron is a Kohen, we know. But the idea is, if we take this as a pasuk by itself, what is that? Does it tell us? A Kohanim bnei Aaron, the Kohanim, the children of Aaron. Aaron is not called the Kohen, but the children are. Which, by the way, is one of the interesting things is one day came this clever guy to this rabbi and tells him, you know, not religious, but he wanted to show off. He says, you know, my father was this rabbi, and my grandfather was that rabbi, and my great-great-father was Gdol Ador. Whoa! And he gives him a whole list of big rabbonim. So this rabbi tells him, what's with you? He says, you know, when you take a zero and you put it on the right side, what do you've got? 10. You've got put another zero, you've got 100. You've got another 1,000. But if you take the same zero and put it on the left side, what have you got?
Nothing.
Zero. Nothing. So it depends where you stand.
Still got one.
The one is the father. That's his honor is in his place. But the point is, what are you doing with it? You see, in order to be, proud about my heritage, I have to keep to it. Well, I said, oh, my father was this. So what? What are you? And here the Torah is telling us, a Kohanim bnei Aaron, that they were Kohanim for their own ability. They did it. Of course, they had good education, which gets us to the education. Why is double saying, Emor ve'amarta? You see, let's imagine to the family of Kohanim, says the Rav Zalman Sorotsky, and now you send your children outside to play around with other children. They are Israel. They don't have to keep purity, because they can touch things, because only when they go to the temple, to Beit HaMikdash, they have to go to the mikveh and make themselves pure, but otherwise, normally, they eat normal food, no problem. But the children of Kohanim, they eat truma. And truma, you cannot eat if you're impure. You have to be pure. In other words, you have to keep, when you go out, you're not allowed to touch everything. Because otherwise, you come home, you cannot eat. So, because of this, you needed to educate those children more than the others. Because they come home, Abba, hey, look, he's eating everything, touching everything. Why I'm not allowed to? He says, you are a Kohen, you're not allowed to. Yeah, but it's difficult. Yes.
Is that still applicable now?
No. No, because today we have the North Kadab, they don't eat truma, so there is no problem. But this is a good question. So why is this telling us today? The Torah is for eternity. So now let's take, instead of the Mishpachat HaKohanim, Olam Israel, atem tiyuli mamlechet kohanim vegoi kadosh. We are all called by our sages as kohanim. The God told us, you will be a nation of kohanim. What does it mean? Let's imagine to yourself. If I'm in a normal environment, a religious environment, a Jewish environment, I can keep the Torah with no problem. But let's imagine that unfortunately sometimes people get to places where there is no Jewish community or there is a very small Jewish community and the children outside are all the time attached with the goyim, and now you have to teach them to be Jewish. And this is very hard because they come home and says, hey, this guy is doing this, we're not allowed to do this. He's driving on Shabbos, he's thinking, well, we're not allowed, why? So somebody can give up something, okay, I tried, it doesn't work. So the point is here to understand and realize the Torah is telling us how do you do it. Emor ve'amarta. You say it once, and you say it again, and again, and again. You never give up. You never give up, because you have to understand that there also emor ve'amarta is telling us about two level of education or two places of education. The first place is home and maybe the school, depends what school you're sending him. And the second place is unfortunately the street. So emor ve'amarta, you need to know what you're dealing with. So there is an education that you give at home and you try to choose the best teacher and the best school in order to educate your kids in the best way. But they are going to be in the street sometime, and you need to give a special education, like Yaakov gave Joseph a special education in order to keep him on his way. When he will go amongst the Egyptian, and he will keep, still will keep is the good way, and Baruch Hashem was successful. And the same way we have to do with our children. First of all, we have to understand and realize that we have this problem. There are two places where you educate your kids. Home and school, which you choose. You can also call it three places: home, school, and street. And you have to choose the best thing for your kids. And this is what the Torah is telling us. It's not only talking to the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron. It's talking to us. If you want them to be called Kohanim, if you want the next generation to be called Jewish, you have to do something about it. Especially in our world, which you see what's happening around us. And not only abroad, unfortunately, it's also here. Here when you go on Shabbos, not everybody keeps Shabbos. Not everybody keeps kosher. So, and you have to tell your child, you know, we don't do this. And nevertheless, also from the part of the Haftal Racha Kamocha, the simple part, how people behave in the street. We should educate our kids to be different. We have to be a sample. And this is exactly what this interesting pasuk is telling us. You tell the Kohanim Bnei Aaron, if you want to be the children of Aaron and be called Kohanim, you have to be educated in the right way. You have to do it by yourself. But in order to do it by yourself, the parents have to give them the tools. If we don't give them the tools, what's going to happen? You know, it says, Shlomo HaMelech says, Chosech shivto sone bno. Sometimes you have to hit your child. Hit. Punish him. Let's call it in a nice word. You have to punish your child sometimes. And sometimes, you know, you have the parents, they love the children. Says, I cannot. It hurts me. I cannot. No, it's going to hurt him. How can I? Is this real love?
No.
This is an outside love. This is love from on the surface. Because if you really love somebody, you understand and realize that sometimes it's going, love hurts sometimes. And you have to punish your child, because even if it hurts you, and sometimes, a lot of times, it hurts you more, if you really love your child, than your child. And I know, I think everybody here knows it. Sometimes you punish your children, and it hurts you more than it hurts them. So, do we do it or not? Of course we do it. That's real love, and that's exactly the point. Education is not just a simple thing. That's why later on it's telling us that you light the menorah with the shemen zayit katit. Pure oil. Also, by the way, we have a very interesting part in our parsha about Kiddush Hashem. ודבר השם אל משה לאמור, דבר אהרון בניו לאמור, וינזרו מדרשי ישראל, ולא יחללו את שם קודשי, חילול השם, השם מקדישים, אמר אלוהים להם, כל איש יגר, ולא יחללו את מקדשי כי אני השם מקדשם. דבר שם, we're talking here about קידוש השם, which is also an unbelievable issue, and we're not going to go into it now, like, you know, a lot of words, but in a few words. People, when you talk about קידוש השם, people always think about what? About people dying on קידוש השם. But the real truth is that God wants us to live on קידוש השם. And we have to put it in our mind. It's not dying on קידוש השם, it's live on קידוש השם. And sometimes, unfortunately, we have in our history a lot of people that died on Kiddush Hashem, and they are holier than holy. And but we have to understand that God doesn't want us to die on Kiddush Hashem. God wants us to live on Kiddush. By the way, if you think about it a little, I don't know what's harder, to die on Kiddush Hashem or to live on Kiddush Hashem. You know, to die on Kiddush Hashem, okay, that's it. Well, you go to heaven. But to live on Kiddush Hashem every day, to go against people that go against you and try to convince you that their opinion is right and your opinion is wrong, and you have to keep to your to the Torah, it's much harder than so in other words, that's what God wants us. Kiddush Hashem, he wants us to live as Jews. Unfortunately, I know it hurts me, because just before I read about what's happening in the States, around 60% of intermarriage. And more than this, like in certain section, it's unbelievable. And people don't want to know about Eretz Israel anymore. No, it's terrible. So with all this happening around us, we have to listen to the Torah. And we have to understand and realize, when we talk about education, when we talk about keeping the next generation to go in the right way, this is Kiddush Hashem. This is the real Kiddush Hashem. It's not easy. It's very hard. But that's the Kiddush Hashem. And sometimes, you know, we ask ourselves, okay, what for? What is the right thing? What is the wrong thing? Sometimes even now we say, the Torah tells us, "V'kitis bechu zevach toda le'ashem lirtzonchem tizbachu." If you bring a sacrifice of thanks, you will bring it from your own will. If I bring a sacrifice to thank God, why shouldn't I bring it from my own will? Of course I bring it to God. Otherwise I won't bring it. So what is the Torah trying to tell us? You know, when we look at things, like, we look at Eretz Yisrael. We look at the state of Israel. There are good things and there are bad things. So sometimes we say, you know, we bless God on the good things, but we certainly don't bless God on the bad things. But are we right? Maybe those bad things are bringing out the good in us, or they're also deep inside good. How do you look at things? So when we say thank you to God about God saved us, let's say something happens, God saved us, and we bring a sacrifice of thanks. What do we thank for?
For what has been.
That we were saved, that we were on the miracle. Do we thank God on the tzara, on the problem? Normally not. So what does the Torah tell us? When you bring a sacrifice of thanks to God, you will bring it from your own will, meaning understanding that you say thank you to God willingly on everything, on the whole thing. What does it mean? As a, for example, God saved us from Egypt. That's a basic thing in our tradition. We're talking about it every day. So somebody can ask, who put us in Egypt? God. Well, so why do I have to say thank you to God that he saved me from Egypt if he is the one who put me in? Don't put me in and don't take me out. I'll hit somebody, bam, 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 and then oh, nice, 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 oh, puchi-muchi. Why did you hit me?
Yes. But doesn't God bring about a negative in order to elevate you?
In other words, was the exile in Egypt good for us or bad for us? It was good. Am Israel came out of Egypt. You have to understand, if there were no Egypt, there were no Am Israel. And you know, we are called Am Kshe Oref. What is Am Kshe Oref?
Stiff neck.
Stiff neck. What does it mean? Like stubborn. Is it good or bad?
It's good.
It depends. If you go in the wrong way, it's bad. But if you go in a good way, it's so. In other words, in everything there is good and bad. And we have to find what? The good in it. There is this story, I think I told it to you before. There was this king, he wanted a picture. He wanted a picture of himself. So he put out this contract. Anybody who wants to paint a picture can come and give his details and show his works, and we're going to choose somebody who's going to get a lot of money. Of course, all the painters of the kingdom came and put the pictures in, and one was chosen. And the one was chosen, took the king, was painting it, then he took it the picture and did a few changes in order to make it
more attractive,
better. And then the day come, and he said, told the king, I finished the picture. And of course, the king wanted to show the whole nation the picture of this famous painter. So they took this big hall, and they invited all the people to see the new picture. And the king came with all the trumpets and the flags and the noise, and he comes into this big hall, sits on his throne, and the picture is covered with something on the stage, and he calls the painter, Bakasha. The painter comes, takes down the cover, and you see this beautiful picture. The king, spitting image of the king. The king had one eye missing. He had one hand missing. He was a short, he was very, very small. And he was small. Wow, it looked exactly. The king looked at the picture and he got angry. This is the way you see your king? Hanging. All the people didn't understand what's going on here. What? He painted exactly the picture of the king. So what can he do? The king is a king. They hanged him. Time passes by and the king says, "Why? I still haven't got a picture. I want a picture." So he puts out a contract again. Who wants to paint the picture is going to cost $500,000. This time, not everybody is running because you know to remember what happened. But still, $500,000 is tempting. So a few painters came and one of them was chosen. And he paints the king, then takes and makes all the thing, and he calls the king and says, "Dear King, Your Majesty, the picture is ready." Of course, now, again, they tell the public, and that the day date, at that time, the king is going to come, and the picture is going to be revealed to the public and to the king. Everybody is invited. Of course, now, there was double people. They would want to see what's happening. And the day comes, and the king comes, and all the balagan, and the thing, and the trumpet, and thing, and the king's going, everybody stands, he sits on his throne, the picture is on the stage, covered again, and Bakasha, the painter, comes, takes down the cover, and you see this beautiful picture, a beautiful king, tall, two eyes, two arms. The king looks at it. "What are you? Do you think I'm stupid? What is this? What is this? Are you mocking me? Is this me? Hanging!" The people don't know what to do. The first painter painted it exactly as he is. He killed him. This one is doing a nice picture. Everything is perfect. He's also being killed. They know what? Okay, time passes by. The king again says, "I've got no picture. I want a picture." A contract out. Nobody comes. Who wants to come? Who wants to paint a picture? Whatever he's going to do, he's going to be killed. Why should he go? A tourist with kosher food, yes, was going around. And he sees this big sign. $1,000,000, the one who's going to paint, make a picture of the king. He says, "Well, I can paint." So he runs and signs himself in. And of course, who wins? He's the only one. It's no competition. Now, on the way, after he wins, when he goes to the palace, he looks at people looking at him. They're like looking like a dead calf going on the street. He says, "Oh, miskin. Oh, what a pity. Ah." He says, he looks at himself, what's wrong? He says, "What's wrong? Do you know where you're putting yourself in?" And they tell him the story. He says, "Oy vav, what am I going to do?" He cannot back up. You know, this is the king. He has to paint the picture. So he paints the picture. Then he takes it and does the thing, and he calls the king, "Your Majesty, the picture is ready." Now again, everybody, and now the announcement comes all over, you know. The hall was not enough. They put big screens outside for people to see what's happening inside. Millions of people came to see what's going to happen with this painter. Like they're coming to execution. And the king comes. Hardly they can, like all the parade, hardly can go move because so many people. Trumpet and thing. Eventually the king comes, sits on the throne, the stage, the picture is covered, and he calls the painter, "Bakasha." The painter goes, reveals the picture. And on the picture you see an unbelievable picture. You see the king from a profile, holding with his one hand a rifle, going hunting on a big horse, and his eye, only eye he had, but he was taken from the profile, is looking with a good look far away. The king looks at the picture, says, starts clapping, "Unbelievable, unbelievable, very good. This is the way to see your king." What is this story telling us? Everything's got two sides. The king had defaults. Yes, he had problems. He had no arm and he had no eye and he was short. What did this painter? He looked at the king in a good eye. So how do I? He wanted to show what? The good side. And everybody's got a good side. So instead of painting the king from in front, then he will have to show also the problems. He took a profile picture and just showed everybody the good side. And he was short, so he put him on a high horse. He didn't lie. He was telling the truth and only the truth, but
withheld some truth.
The thing is, in life, we should look always on the bright side, on the good side. In everything, especially when we're talking about Eretz Israel, we have to look at the good side. Baruch Hashem, we are so privileged to be here. So privileged, you know, you want to eat. Those who keep kosher and religious, so many shuls, so many places to learn, so many good restaurants to eat. Wherever you go, you've got everything, and everything is so developed. Do you imagine to yourself, you know, the quality of life in Israel? I don't think there is one place in the world that live at just a high standard of living. It costs money, I'm not saying. But still, at the end of the day, when we look for poor people in Israel, there are not a lot of really poor people that haven't got anything to eat. Not like in other places in the world. Baruch Hashem, here in Eretz Israel, everybody. Let's say, I didn't check everybody, but I'm sure that 99% of the population of Am Israel has got eat something to eat.
Because we look after each other.
And this is the good side of us. Yes! You go on the road, this one comes from here, the other one comes from here. You stand in a line for the Kupat Cholim or for a movie, and this one comes from here, that one, and you get aggravated. Yes, you're right. But let's look at the good side and say thanks to God. That's a real sacrifice of thanks. To understand and realize that the good that we've got is much more than the bad, and nevertheless, sometimes the good comes only from the bad. Because sometimes, you know, when you see somebody behave, you say, it improves yourself. You know, it depends how you take it. But I'm not going to be like him. You know, I want to end this shiur. You know what shaming is? On the internet today, there is something called shaming. Shaming is to tell bad things about somebody.
Bad
you
things.
Put it on the internet, and everybody reads it, and you can ruin people like this.
Name and shame.
Yes. And, for example, you know, we have a business, and a customer is not satisfied, and you know, we say the customer is always right, but he's not always right. The real truth is, the customer sometimes is not right. And you try to give him whatever it is, and it still doesn't help. And now he has got a very interesting tool. It just puts on the internet, this business is bad, don't go there, don't buy there, they're a liar, they're thieves. And you know, they don't realize how much damage they do, how much harm they do.
Do you feel sexual by doing it?
No.
So, what are you going to do? We learned last week, now you bought something, and you know you're not satisfied, something happens. Are you going to put something on the internet? Are you going to do shaming? A lot of times, you know what? Maybe yes. Who knows? I want to tell you something. It's very hard. Because the picture's got two sides, as we said. And sometimes you're 100% right. But you have to realize that whatever you write and whatever you do, you are wrong. Lo tikom velo titor. We should not take revenge. We should behave differently from others. And believe me, you know, we went to Kretim on Pesach. And on the first night...
To where?
Kretim. Greek. In Greek. Crete in Greek, okay? And the first night we were there, the air conditioner didn't work and in my son's room. And my grandchild, yeah, she was very cold. And my son also. And they called the hotel and no answer, no nothing, and it's going on and on and on. So my daughter-in-law wrote something about it on the internet, on the Facebook. And 10 minutes later, everything was solved. They came and they fixed it and everything, and they got more blanket, everything, Baruch Hashem. Now you think to yourself, one minute, I want to understand. Did I do right or did I do wrong? I didn't do anything, by the way, did my daughter-in-law right or wrong? At the first spot, what do you say? Yes, she did right. You know, nobody was answering her. The baby is ill, and the air conditioner doesn't work, and you don't want to take any chances, and nobody gives you any help. So what do? They went, they did everything. No, nothing worked. I want to tell you something. No, that's not the whole story. After she got it, she on the spot, she marked out what she wrote, first of all. But it already worked. And at one of the days came the owner of the company, and she approaches us and says, and we know them for many, many years, and she didn't realize who it was in the beginning. Then she was, Hamburger. Says, why, what happened? Was she dead and that? Everything was, like she gave us the best treatment there is. So you, again, you think to yourself, maybe that's the way. Because other things, they don't help you. It's not the way. It's definitely not the way. And Baruch Hashem, my daughter-in-law, just after she got what she needed, she took it out. But the lesson is there. You know, we came back to work. For 2 days, people are doing shaming on us. You know, God sometimes shows you. You know, you do something wrong, you get paid. You get paid.
Absolutely.
You have to be very careful with those things. It's not only, okay, I got what I'm right, I'm wrong. That's not the question. Do I do what God wants me to do or not? Sometimes, even if you're right, well, how do you say on the Al Takvish? Al tiyeh tzodek, tiyeh chacham. Don't be right, be clever. Or be Jewish. Do what you have to do. And my other son, by the way, whatever happens, Baruch Hashem, he never does shaming. Nevertheless, also when he talks with people that didn't, we were in Arcadia. The middle of the night, his wife wants to go to the toilet. Doesn't open. He goes to the Kabbalah, says, this is the Arcadia, it's a good hotel. No? They send people, and this is the middle of the night. Nobody can open the door. Now what would a normal person do? Start complaining and shouting. My son came in the morning, he says, this is not nice. I understand you, it happens. And I want some compensation. What are you going to give me? He says they wanted to give him a meal, whatever. Nevertheless, they gave him a weekend at the end. But the thing is, he approached them in a nice way. He didn't come and shout, as a lot of people would do. And by the way, I'm not saying right or wrong. As we said, that's not the issue. It's not being right or wrong. It's being v'ahavta l'racha kamocha.
Derech Eretz.
It's a higher level. And Baruch Hashem, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes you also get rewarded for it. But even if you don't get rewarded for it, you still have to behave like this. אל תעשה לחברך מה ששנוי עליך. That's the whole Torah, says Hillel Hazaken. That's the whole Torah. So we sometimes go through hell with people. And sometimes when we buy. But we are very, I'm not saying I'm a saint, yes? I'm not a saint. Wow, but we try very hard. But we try very hard not get to the level, especially not in public. Because you don't understand what you're doing. You're taking a parnoso of a Jewish guy, which is a big, big sin. So at the end of the day, kdoshim tiyu, that's the parsha. We have to be kdoshim. Sanctify God. It's written like this. Where is it? Velo techalelu et shem kodshi. You should not do chilul Hashem. Venikdashti betoch bnei Yisrael. Now I will be sanctified amongst you in Israel. How would God be sanctified among us if we behave better than others? If we show them that that's not the way. This is our way, the way of the Torah. Bezrat Hashem, we should all, let's say, try to follow it as much as we can. And I think, you know, we here and there, as I told you the story, we learn the lesson sometimes in a hard way because God wants to show us what does it mean. So he shows us, but we have to learn the lesson. And if we learn the lesson, so we say thank you for what? Also for the lesson and also for the rescue. Shkoyach.